In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Here again, these verses from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours this Sunday, January 9th, in the year of our Lord 2022, when I heard on the media this week that the churches should not be open on Sunday. It is too dangerous. It is actually too dangerous for the churches to close, because there are things that you and I depend upon more than food for the body and drink. And that is the saving word of Christ our Savior and his body and blood given to us to eat and to drink in the sacrament for the strengthening of our faith. One day this life will pass away. If the Lord doesn't tarry much longer, we may all meet him soon, but if he tarries long, eventually all of us will fall asleep in death. We need to be prepared for that day. The faith of our baptism is nourished by the holy word of Christ and by his sacrament. If we're sick, we have a fever, we stay home, and we come back as quickly as we can to receive the Lord's word and to bear witness before the world that for us as baptized Christians, nothing is more important than Christ and his word. And so we rejoice to confess his name and to sing his praises. Today, the first Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord, is traditionally the baptism of our Lord. The baptism of our Lord Jesus inaugurated his three-year ministry, which culminated in his death and resurrection. 700 years before our Lord's birth, the prophet Isaiah spoke about wonderful miracles that would take place at Jesus' baptism. The words that I read, "Behold my servant whom I uphold," the one speaking in the Old Testament is God the Father. And he calls his son my servant. And he says, "Behold, look at my servant whom I uphold." This is what the Father is always doing. Look at my son. Look at my servant. After Jesus' baptism, John the Baptist would say from that day forward, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look at him." This is what the baptism of our Lord and our baptism are all about. They come together in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the salvation of the world. You remember in the gospel reading, John, who had been preparing the way for the Lord's coming, he had been calling the people to repentance, showing them their sin. You need a Savior. Even the circumstances of our world today teach us that message. We need a Savior from the darkness and the misery and the sin and the unbelief of this world. And so he preached repentance, and they came out to him from Jerusalem and Judea and all of the regions surrounding the Jordan. They came to him to be baptized, confessing their sins. Why? Because they understood from his preaching, there is forgiveness and there is salvation in that one whose way I am preparing. And so they came. They heard the call to repentance. They came confessing their sins, then they were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, to wash their sins away. And then John sees Jesus come to his baptism. And John the Baptist is shocked. I have need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me? It is as if John were saying, I'm the sinner, you're the sinless one. And he was right. You're the Son of God. And he was right. I need the forgiveness and the salvation that you came to bring. And he was right. Why are you coming to me? And then Jesus tells John very simply, permit it. Permit me to be baptized. It is as if Jesus were saying to him, you may not understand right now what you're doing. You may not get it, but permit it. It is God's will. Permit it, Jesus says to him, to fulfill all righteousness. Now, that concept of righteousness pervades the scriptures. Sometimes it's related, as it is in the Old Testament reading for today, to the concept of justice. God doing justice. The righteousness of God. If you were asked that question by someone, what is the righteousness of God? What would you say? The answer boils down to this. The righteousness of God is what Christ did for us. He took upon himself all of our sin, and then he went to the cross, and he suffered the condemnation for sin that you and I and the whole world deserve. The righteousness of God is that God, the Father, lifted up his Son as his servant to die upon the cross for us and for the world's salvation. That's the righteousness of God. So when Jesus says to John, permit me to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus is coming to baptism not to have any sins of his washed away, he has none, but rather to have the sin of the whole world imputed to him. And if you know anything about the Old Testament worship life of the children of Israel, all of the sacrifices, every single one of them, was a substitutionary sacrifice whereby the sins of individuals or the congregation was imputed to the animal. And then the animal was sacrificed in place of the people. They deserved to die, but the animal was sacrificed. And so Jesus comes to baptism like the Old Testament sacrifices. He embodies them all. And there at Jesus' baptism, there is imputed to him the sin of the world. And then John the Baptist, who was preparing the way for the Lord's coming, say he's the source of salvation. Then he understood something that this son of a priest should have realized before. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And from that day forward, he would say those words, look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There at Jesus' baptism, the world's sin was imputed to him. And then for 3 years, he marched to the cross, whereby he made full payment and atonement for sin. That's why our baptism forgives sin. Because in our baptism, the blood of Christ pours over us. Our sin was imputed to him, and in our baptism, his righteousness, the righteousness and the forgiveness that came from his sacrifice is imputed to us. What a glorious promise. You see how Jesus' baptism and our baptism are inseparably linked together. And the linkage is Jesus' death and resurrection, whereby he atoned for sin and established a righteousness that saves us. It's all over the place. In the canticle that we sang as the gradual canticle, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with his righteousness. In the Old Testament, we hear the words of Isaiah say, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, God made him, Christ Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This makes your baptism and mine, as it is joined to Christ, of inestimable comfort and a source of great blessing. There's something else that we see in the baptism of our Lord. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, it's the miraculous character of holy baptism. You know, when John was baptizing over and over again, he's simply pouring water from the Jordan River. But in the baptism of Jesus, the veil is lifted so that we see the realities of Christian baptism. It's even spoken about in the Old Testament, where we hear these words, "Behold, my servant," God the Father is speaking, "whom I uphold," so you got the Father and the Son, "my elect one," the one whom the Father chose and elected to be Son of God, Savior, "I have put my Spirit upon him," the Holy Spirit, all three persons of the Holy Trinity mentioned in that first verse from Isaiah. And so at Jesus' baptism, when he comes up out of the water, dripping wet, literally, Matthew says, the heavens were ripped open. You see, it's on account of what Jesus has done that heaven is open to us. We don't have some other intermediary, and we cannot access God by our own works. No, the access to God is through the blood of Christ. Heaven is ripped wide open. And then what does the Father say? "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." What God the Father says of his Son at Jesus' baptism, God the Father says of you at your baptism, "I am well pleased with you on account of my Son, my faithful servant, my elect one, who went to the cross on your behalf." And the Holy Spirit at Jesus' baptism descended in the form of a dove, a white dove, purity, a symbol of peace, and rested upon him. At our baptism, the Holy Spirit is poured out on us for the establishment of faith in Christ in our heart and to seal to us all of the blessings of our salvation. Our baptism joins us to Jesus. The Apostle Peter says, "Baptism now saves." And he says that because the content of baptism is Christ. So to say baptism now saves is to say Jesus saves. Because it is Jesus who has borne our sin and the sin of the whole world, and it is Jesus who has gone to the cross and executed justice and righteousness there for us. And so St. Paul will say things like this, "Therefore we were buried with him through our baptism into Christ's death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life." Or where Paul will say, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so when Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things," we see the miraculous character of our baptism as the triune God does a miraculous work of salvation. In Jesus' baptism, the Father speaks, the Son is in the water, the Holy Spirit descends, and the same is true for your baptism. The Father speaks words of forgiveness and approval. You're joined to Christ, he's the content of the water, and the Holy Spirit is poured out. And every time we return to the Word of God and the Word of forgiveness and gather here to confess our sins and to receive the absolution or to be nourished by the Lord's body and blood, we are living as baptized Christians. Having the faith in Christ given to us in our baptism, nurtured and fortified. You should look at your baptism as a source of inestimable comfort. Because you should look at your baptism as the Father's gift of Jesus to you. I am baptized. I belong to Christ. Baptism is, by our Lord's own catechesis on the subject, often compared with birth. Being born from heaven is used in John 3, sometimes translated born again. But to be born from heaven means it is a miracle of God through his word and spirit. We certainly see the miracle at the baptism of Jesus. John was absolutely flabbergasted as he hears the Father speak and sees the dove descending in the form of a dove. But he is allowed to see and bear witness to the spiritual, supernatural realities of our baptism. But this concept of being born from above, understand by analogy the pledge that God the Father is making to you in your baptism on account of his Son and in the sealing gift of the Holy Spirit given to you. He calls you his children. In fact, he even goes so far as to say, whether we're male or female, we're all sons of God because we're granted the sonship of Jesus, no one less than him, in our baptism. So consider this. If your father and mother who love you will always love you and will never turn away from you because you are their child, how much more does the Father in Christ Jesus pledge his love to you in your baptism? That means that for you and for me, no matter how much we struggle with our sin and doubts and fears, even during this time when we're still wrangling over COVID-19, how reassuring and comforting the promises of our baptism are. I am a child of God. I belong to Christ. And that means we have access to God. Would any parent who loves their child ever turn them away when the child runs to them and cries out to them for help? That's what the Lord is saying in Isaiah 42 for today. When we hear these words, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. A bruised reed, a smoking flax. That's what our faith is like at times, trembling, weak, we're filled with doubts and fears. But our Lord promises us who have been baptized into Christ, he's not going to squelch that faith. He's not going to stomp it out. But rather, his pledge to us is that his ongoing mercy and word of forgiveness will constantly be extended to us to revive our faith, to keep the flame burning, and to drive away the darkness of our own sin and the assaults of Satan in this world of evil. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. That's the promise that the Lord makes to each one of you. When Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. And when Jesus says, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Remember this, that for us as baptized Christians, the object of our faith is always Christ. Whoever believes in Christ shall be saved. Whoever does not believe, rejects him, will be condemned. But our baptism is always calling us to lay our full confidence for ourselves and for our children entirely in Christ Jesus, who is God the Father's precious gift to us in our baptism. Behold the Father's servant, in whom he delights. We heard the Father say that at Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As John said, behold the Lamb of God. This is the source of comfort and life for every baptized Christian. And he will never relinquish his promises from you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.